Today we'll conclude our interview with Alan Babbitt on taking your photography to the limits and abstract photography. If you haven't listened to part one of this fascinating interview, I suggest you check out last week's podcast. You're listening to the 7 Photography Questions podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. Audrey Lanford. We're very easy to find on the web at www.7photographyquestions.com. Today's show is sponsored by secretsofmasterphotographers.com. So today, Alan will answer your remaining questions, as well as share the story behind the story of some of his photographs. You can check out the show notes to see Alan's photographs, which we'll discuss towards the end of this interview. So let's get going. Our next question was probably the most common question we got this week. And here is how one of our subscribers asked it. I've been in many discussions at various clubs about fine art photography. And the constant question seems to be, just what is fine art photography?
Yeah.
And what distinguishes it from other categories? So can you give us, in other words, some guidance as we try to determine what is fine art photography, since that is what you do?
Yeah, that is what I do. And I'll tell you one of the things. I think it's in part when I decided that I wanted to sell this stuff, I had to figure out what category I was in. So the one that made the most sense when I looked at what was out there is fine art photography. Now, that's kind of a glib answer. In other words, it's a marketing category, for one thing. That's part of the definition as far as I see it. But I think more seriously to the questioners, I think it has to do with intent of the photographer. There is no set definition of fine art photography, I don't think. But if a photographer is trying to make art, that fits in there. Now, it also has to do with the viewer's opinion. If you're talking about looking at it, that could be, I mean, there's a lot of overlap with categories of photography. Like, is documentary photography fine art? Is fashion photography fine art? Is journalism, portrait photography fine art? I think it can be to the viewer, but it probably isn't the intent of the photographer to make fine art, or to make art, let's say. So, and the bottom line, I think, is that it doesn't really matter. It is what, you know, if it's art, it's art. Mm-hmm. To the viewer or to the photographer, if they're trying to make art, it's art. Mm-hmm. It may not be good art. It has nothing to do with good or bad. It's just a way to categorize something. And I would caution people about spending too much time trying to determine a definition. I mean, we're talking about a visual art here. And sometimes too much intellectualizing about it sucks the magic out of it. Too many words about it, you know. There's magic in a visual, and it communicates to the viewer. But I think, you know, if it looks like art, it's art. If it doesn't, then it's something else.
So we might want to go back to the advice you gave earlier, which is shoot a lot.
Shoot a lot. That's my mantra.
Okay. You know, let's just take our sponsor break for this one right now. And I want to just remind everyone who hasn't yet done so to sign up for our free email mini course called Secrets of Master Photographers. And in this mini course, I share digital photography tips, techniques, and secrets from one of the photographers that I've interviewed that can make a big difference between just having boring snapshots or stunning photographs. Plus, you'll get the inside scoop on exactly how you can ask the photographers I interview each podcast your biggest photography question. So you can sign up for free. Just go to www.secretsofmasterphotographers.com. And of course, we'll have that link in the show notes. So, Alan, moving on to the next question, which is always one of my favorites. Can you share one of two of your biggest secrets for creating such amazing photographs?
I can, but then there won't be secrets.
I know, but I'm going to ask you to do it anyway.
Okay. One of the little things I've learned just recently about those slow shutter speeds is that you can split up the time, and you can magnify or expose something a little bit stronger and then move. So if I was shooting something at 4 seconds, say, I could sit on something, part of the subject, for, say, a second or two, and then move. And so you get the sense of stillness and motion in the same photograph. I have a couple of examples I think we'll talk about later, where I was shooting a neon sign, and I wanted to get the essence of the sign itself without it being totally abstracted. So I sat on it for a second or two and then moved off. And you get the best of both worlds that way. So that's one.
Fabulous.
The other secret, if you're trying to do slow shutter speeds and movement, I would say you don't have to get Parkinson's for one thing. But it's really the light. This is true of any kind of photography, really, and that's, as I mentioned earlier, I think, or in the previous interview, my photography got so much better when I realized I was shooting light. And if you look at light and start shooting where the, when I go out and shoot, I go where the light is good. I go where, let my eyes take me to where the light is good, and I'll shoot in and around that light. It doesn't matter what the subject is, really. So that was a major improvement for me, and I think that's true for almost anybody who's into photography.
Can you elaborate a little bit on that? Because in other podcasts, we've had a lot of people ask, so what is good light? And I'd love to hear your answer to that.
Well, good light is one that models. Photography is a two-dimensional medium, basically. You have your X and Y axis, which is the horizontal, and the vertical, the height and width. But then you have this thing called depth, the Z axis. And you have to create it. One of the ways to create it, light creates it. If you take a round ball and move a light around it, you'll see if it's shining flat, if it's shining straight at the ball from where the camera is, it'll look like a disc. You won't see the roundness. But if you move that light around to the side a little bit, you see the, like the moon. You know, you see roundness because you have shadow and light, and you have a transition point between shadow and light that's very interesting usually. So light tends to give us the depth. It allows us to see things in depth. And so good light often is that. And of course, good light is early morning, late afternoon, if you're shooting outside. And so backlighting is very dramatic. So when I see, if I'm out at 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it doesn't matter where I am, I'm gonna look and see if I can find some backlit things to shoot. Or position myself so that the light is coming from the angle, from the side. The most boring light is flat light, meaning it's coming straight at the subject from behind you as you shoot. And not to say you can't do it, but it's pretty flat, and that means there's no depth to it. So good light is where it creates depth and maybe mystery. So from the side, from the back, from the behind somehow, that's good light for me.
Thanks. That's really interesting. I think that'll clarify it for a lot of our listeners. Cool. So those are two excellent secrets. Thank you.
Oh, good. May they go out and help people become better photographers.
I have no doubt. People apply these things, and we get such great feedback of how they actually used it. It's a lot of fun. You know, you sent me a number of amazing photographs, and I'd like to now spend a few minutes talking about your images. So before we get started, I have to give my usual warning, which is I'd like to remind listeners that as long as you are not listening to this interview while you're driving, go ahead, because we don't want any accidents here, go ahead and check out the show notes now to see the photographs as we talk about them, because it'll make it much more meaningful for you. But otherwise, I recommend you wait and come back to this section of the interview when you're at your computer. You definitely don't want to miss Ellen's photographs, and you don't want to be looking at them while you're driving. So let's start with the first one, Ellen.
Okay. This is one I call Untethered. My wife, Nancy, actually named it, and it is so appropriate and so symbolic that I want to start with it. It's one of the first shots I made in Las Vegas, that first time a few years ago where I started applying the tremor. So it is so symbolic, being a balloon that's lifting off, because that is exactly what has happened to me, it feels like. So this is a sign in front of the Paris Hotel in Las Vegas on the Strip. You can kind of make out, if you're good, the word Paris, it's sort of, the balloon is definitely lifting off. And so that's, you know, I can't tell you the shutter speed because it was an automatic camera, but that was done with a 5.1 megapixel camera. And I have blown it up just recently to 30 by 40. And it holds up okay, obviously. Things are softer, but in this case and in all of these, it doesn't really matter. So you don't need really expensive equipment to do this. It can be done by almost any digital camera, and you can have a good time with it.
Fabulous.
Okay. Shall we move on to the next one?
Yes. I think this was a great one to start with. Thank you. Let's go on to the next.
Okay. Let's see. Let's do one I call the Riviera sequence. There's three or four images I believe we'll have up that show the sequence of the process I go through. The first one is this over-the-top neon Riviera Hotel marquee, and that's kind of my straight shot. Put the camera in auto, probably, and tried to damp the tremor down long enough to get an exposure, and it's pretty sharp. But that's mostly for educational purposes. And then I let the tremor, in the second photograph, I let the tremor have its way, and you can see that it's gotten somewhat abstracted. You can't tell it's the Riviera anymore. But if you put the two together, you can still see some of the elements of the marquee. And then I have two more images here that I just got a little more violent with the movement, with the shaking, or maybe I just wiggled the camera around. Sometimes I go nuts with the camera and I'm just looking like a mad person, just moving my arms and waving the camera around. And I know people are wondering, what in the heck is this guy doing? Hardly anybody ever comes up to me and asks, though, which is kind of interesting.
That is interesting. I'm a little surprised.
Yeah, I am. I always am, too, because I figure people are curious, and, you know, you don't see somebody moving that camera around quite so much. But whatever. those four images kind of illustrate the continuum of abstractness. And this is a good time to mention that there is this continuum from real to totally abstract, so you don't know what the heck you're looking at. And that's a continuum. You can decide where you want to be as you shoot or as you look at your work. You'll see some things that are very abstract and some things that are not so abstract. And that is a consideration if you're thinking of who your viewer is, and you'll find that some people don't relate to something that's totally abstract very much. A lot of people want something that they can identify, or at least, you know, begin to identify. So you have a choice if you're concerned about that. When I shoot, I mean, I don't think about this kind of stuff, but afterwards when I'm going through them and deciding what works, what doesn't, sometimes I want to pick some images that people can see something in the image that they say, oh, that's a star, or that's something. That's a person in there, even though it's somewhat abstract. So that's just, you know, the viewer to... artists have a thing with whether you should manipulate your images to suit the viewer. I don't think you should when you're making the art, but I think it's a consideration if you care about the person at the other end while you make your edits, and keep your viewer in mind if you want.
Alan, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
These images are labeled Riviera 1 through 4. When I look at it, 3 seems less abstract than 2.
Oh, okay. Does it? All right.
You can actually see the star in 3. I just want to make sure for our viewers that I put them in the right order.
Yeah, I think you're right. You put them in the order that makes the most sense in terms of getting more abstract.
Okay. Got it.
I think I fell into the trap of, one's a horizontal and one's a vertical or something like that.
Right. Okay, I just wanted to make sure that we're illustrating it most clearly for people, because I've never seen, I mean, this is really great from an educational perspective of watching your process here, so this is just fascinating.
Yeah, that's what I thought would be interesting to people, and to point out that there is this continuum that they can choose where to be in abstractness.
Sure. Okay, so which one's next?
I think the Ferris wheel is a good one to talk about next.
Okay.
This was shot at the county fair here in Marin County, and you can't tell by looking at it probably, but it's a Ferris wheel, but it's not a direct Ferris wheel. It's actually a reflection in the water of the lagoon that's in the foreground of the Ferris wheel. So this illustrates the compound motion thing. I got a tremor going. The Ferris wheel is moving. The water is moving. I don't know what else. That's enough.
That's
so
quite a bit.
There's three kind of motion, three kind of movements going on at the same time. That gets real interesting to do something like that. And you can see here that I don't think you'd know that was a Ferris wheel.
No.
Let's see, what else do we have here? I think I sent you fireworks.
Yes.
And that is also taken the same night as the Ferris wheel. This is the 4th of July fireworks display, and it's just a different way of looking at fireworks. Instead of trying to capture what you actually see, and this is really hit or miss, obviously. The fireworks are moving around, I'm moving around. One of the things that this illustrates that's kind of interesting is my pill roll tremor. I have a couple of tremors going on, lucky guy that I am. One is the typical Parkinson's tremor, which is called a pill roll tremor, and it has to do with moving it's when you lay your arm down on a table, your thumb and forefinger make a circular motion as though you were rolling a pill. And in this image especially, I think that that tremor is what's going on here in some degree because of the circular, spirally kind of thing that's going on. If it isn't the pill roll tremor, it's a darn good representation of what happens. So let's see what else we have here. And these images so far, I think, were all taken. Well, the Riviera was taken with my G9, but the other ones were taken with an auto, you know, non-manual point-and-shoot camera. So, you don't have to have heavy equipment to have a good time with this.
I think that will inspire quite a few people, actually.
Yeah. Quaker Oat Box, you know, my work, too, with a pinhole.
We're actually going to do one on the Holga camera in a few weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny. The two images that are left, I believe, is Crazy Leroy's and Electra. Crazy Leroy's was shot in Vegas last summer, and it's an illustration of splitting up the time in... Both of these are, actually, in splitting up the time between stillness and motion. I don't know offhand what the shutter speed was like here, but I can clearly see in Crazy Leroy's that I stayed steady for a second or two and then moved crazily. And so you got Crazy Leroy's, the title, the words are pretty sharp on one of its embodiments here, but then it gets duplicated and loses some exposure. So by splitting up the time, you get both the clearness of the words and the abstractness of them as they get repeated. The Electra one is just a neon sign of a bicycle, obviously, but those smears weren't there in that sign. And I got those in there by, again, splitting up the time and trying to stay steady on the bicycle and then panning off to one side to create the smear. So that's the split time movement technique.
And was that tremoring too, or was that primarily panning?
I don't think that was a tremor one.
Okay.
Crazy Leroy's was, I can tell, but I think the bicycle, I was just kind of having a good time with making it seem like there was motion by that smear. So I must have avoided the tremor. Sometimes I get so into shooting. I got to tell you, one of the joys for me is being out there with the camera in almost any situation and just being free to do what I see. And I get so much joy out of shooting that I used to say it almost doesn't matter whether I come back with anything or not. I don't quite feel that way, but but it's kind of true. I mean, the experience of being able to, it's such a blessing to be into photography, and putting that camera around my neck opens my eyes to the universe to such a bigger degree than in my normal day-to-day vision that I feel totally blessed by having found this vocation or avocation. It has enriched my life immensely. So you should have a good time when you're out shooting. And these abstracts are a perfect excuse to have as much fun as you can, because there really aren't any rules unless you make them yourself.
Absolutely. Actually, you sent me two more.
Oh, I did.
You did. You sent me 4th Street for sure.
Okay.
And Strands.
What was that second one?
Strands.
Oh, Strands. Okay.
So we don't have to talk about them.
No, I'll be happy to, as long as we're there. I'm looking at them on my wall here.
Okay.
The 4th Street one is really one of the more abstract abstracts that I've done. I think it was, I can't tell you what it was. 4th Street here in San Rafael, I know I was shooting it there, but I don't see much to relate to there in terms of reality. Yet, there's something about the colors and the blobs of color in the background that are soft and the sharper little light streaks. I don't know. It's a visceral thing. It's one of those, you know when you see it, that this has appealed to me since I shot it, and it's been a couple of years, and it still looks good to me.
Is this one that you think you were steady for a bit to get the very sharp, on the kind of bottom or mid-right, you've got some pretty sharp strands?
Yeah, I didn't do it consciously if I did.
Okay.
I don't think I knew to do that then.
Okay.
The strands is Christmas lights a few doors down from us here. And, you know, the other thing that I like doing is zooming in and zooming out, trying, I mean, this is a zoomed out shot of Christmas lights and just moving all over the place. I think in this one it wasn't just the tremor, although that looks like it was in there, but I may have been just swinging the camera around a little bit as well. But it's very different than the other ones when you use a light source that is, you know, tinier, smaller. You can get these kinds of effects different than if the light is, you know, big in the frame.
Looking at your images, there's one other question I just really have to ask you here. I mean, you obviously really like color.
Yeah, I do.
Can you say a word about color? Because, I mean, the colors are just so gorgeous.
Yeah, I am attracted to bright color. I don't know why. I just like it. So that goes into the images. I have no compulsion nothing against boosting the chroma or boosting the saturation. I just like bright colors. So I shoot, you know, to get that. I don't adjust anything on the camera to get it, because I try to do that later in Photoshop where I can control it more. But I'm really drawn to bright colors, so I shoot a lot in that realm, and I wind up picking images that have that. Just personal taste, I think.
Thank you. So this was just wonderful, Alan. Thank you so much for sharing your images with us.
Sure.
So there's one last question, which is, could you suggest one or two exercises our listeners can do?
You bet.
Great.
One is, since we're talking about motion, for a self-assignment, take your camera out at night in downtown or someplace where there's a lot of lights, and try slow shutter speeds. Just see what happens. Don't go for sharpness, or, you know, shoot for sharpness as well, but try to loosen up. And, I mean, one of the things that is about abstracts that is a little off-putting to people is that it feels risky. And I guess that's because people on the other end don't relate to it necessarily quite in as big numbers as traditional photography. So it feels like you're limiting your audience, maybe. But there's no risk, really. And it's so liberating to break all the rules that you've been taught. Hold it steady, be in focus, soft is bad. Ha, soft isn't bad. It's just soft, and it can be beautiful. So play around. That is really the key, and have fun with it. If you do that, you'll come up with great work. I have no question about it. Just go out at night where there's lights, shoot in slow shutter speeds. Try a bunch of different things. Try moving the camera. Try keeping it steady. Try shooting from the car. Just whatever you can do at a slow shutter speed will open up a whole different world for you. The other one, to make abstracts a different way, a totally different thing, would be to shoot a lot of macro, to get very close on things. And I would really recommend not venturing out of your house for this one, or if you have to go to your yard, that's okay. But you'd be amazed, if you're not already hip to this, just where you live presents all kinds of abstract possibilities if you're looking at the light. I walk through my house, you know, every day, and almost every day I notice a different little lighting thing, small areas. Light coming in, reflecting off the table and bouncing off the wall, or hitting a vase, or, you know, whatever it is. There's things to shoot close-up of in your direct environment, and it changes all the time because the sun moves, so it's never the same, and there's a ton of opportunities. So put your camera in macro and move in real close. Be nearsighted. It's fun. And go look at the light, and in your house, just start shooting stuff. And, you know, you don't know what you're doing yet. It doesn't matter. Just start shooting, and you'll begin to see what works and what doesn't. And I think those are two easy, cheap, low-cost, non-fattening exercises.
Non-fattening is, of course, the most important one, right?
Absolutely. In fact, you'll lose weight if you're out at night shooting around, and you'll be walking around looking for the lighting opportunities. You'll burn off some of the calories.
You know, we were, before we started this the interview, we were talking, and I mentioned to you that abstracts are actually one of my personal favorite types of photography. So I have to say that I can't wait to try both of these exercises. I've certainly played around with light, but I've done quite a bit of macro stuff. But, you know, you just gave me about a gazillion ideas. So thank you very much for that.
Oh, my pleasure.
You know, Alan, we've talked about a lot of different ideas today. Of everything that we have talked about, and I know this is kind of hard, but if there was one thing that you want people to remember from this interview, what would that one thing be?
Oh, boy. Can I make a compound sentence?
You can make a compound sentence.
In general, look at the light and shoot a lot. If you're talking about abstracts, take a risk, have fun, break the rules. Just get in there and just don't worry about the results. Just have a good time. In fact, both of those are really about having fun with it. I think the best work comes out of stuff that brings you joy, that you are having a good time doing. It comes out in the results, even if you aren't thinking of the results. So get out there, shoot a lot, look at the light, and have a good time.
Great. So I'd like to now ask our listeners to go to the 7 Photography Questions website and post your comments about your biggest insights that you've gotten from today's interview. You can go ahead and do that now, or when you're back at your computer. And while you're there, if you haven't yet signed up for our early email notification list, I recommend you do that when you're at the 7photographyquestions.com website as well. So, Alan, thanks so much. This has really been wonderful. If people want to learn more about the great things that you have to offer, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, I would point them to my photography website, and that is abproductions.com. AB is an Alan Babbitt, very original titling here. But abproductions.com, and you'll see a lot of the Tremor Enhanced work, as well as the Beyond the Tremor Enhanced. There's some other work in there, my older work, more traditional, and some otherworldly stuff that's a whole other discussion. But there's a lot to see, and I've got some essays on there that I've written because I can, I guess. But the website.
Great. And, you know, you've seen... what, 10 or 11 photographs of Alan's that we've just talked about. There's so much more at abproductions.com, Alan's website, and of course we'll have links in the show notes. I also wanted to make sure that everyone knows that 20% of the proceeds from the print sales of Alan's tremor-enhanced photography images are donated to the National Parkinson's Organization to help fund research for better treatment and cure. So that's on the website as well. I think that's a great thing you're doing.
Collect art and help cure disease.
That's a great combination. So once again, thanks so much, Alan. I totally appreciate it.
Thank you, Audrey. I appreciate the opportunity, and I sincerely hope that it helps people do better photography and find more joy in it, if that's possible.
Absolutely. So you've been listening to the 7 Photography Questions podcast at www.7photographyquestions.com. If you're a subscriber, we want to thank you so much for being one. If you'd like to be updated automatically with new interviews as they're released, we encourage you to subscribe to this interview series via podcast. In fact, we'd really appreciate if you subscribe via iTunes, regardless of how you listen. You can find all of the subscription options at www.7photographyquestions.com. I'm Audrey Lanford, and thanks so much for listening.